So good to see everyone this morning. Glad that you're with us today. And as we've been looking at the topic of families and faithfulness for at the beginning of each month, we're going to do that this morning in thinking about the topic, loving our families as Jesus loves us. Let's read Luke chapter 6 and verses 32 through 36 real quick to kind of think about the kind of love that we're discussing when we talk about loving others. Jesus said this, "But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." Well, when we think about what Jesus is saying here in these verses, you know, Jesus is talking about loving our enemies in these verses. And you might say, well, what does that have to do with family and faithfulness? Well, the point, I guess, is this, that if we're to have such an attitude toward even our enemies, how much more ought we then to have the right attitude toward our families in loving them as Jesus has loved us? Think about this for a moment. You know, do we have high expectations out of our families? Do we then have relationships in which we are demanding and relationships in which we expect get back out of this, you know, something, instead of thinking about giving, instead of thinking about truly loving other people, instead of giving ourselves away, as Jesus is talking about in this passage here. Love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. Now that is a challenging, challenging command that Jesus gives us here. Do these things, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. You see, when we place expectations on other people, when we hope for them to reciprocate in kind to what we've done for them, and they don't, then we get disappointed. And over time, that will turn into bitterness. And that bitterness then will fester anger and resentment and other things that we ought not to have toward our family members. And so the best policy is just to give to our family, give to our loved ones, and not expect anything in return. Because if we do that, it will help us spiritually speaking. You know, the worst thing that we can do when we give a gift to someone is keep our hands on it, right? Because if you keep your hands on the gift that you're giving to someone, you're not really giving it, and you're inviting a struggle there. This is your gift, but I'm not going to let go of it. Well, what are you trying to do then if you're not trying to give it to someone, right? Well, we've got to love in the same way. I want to love you without any attachment, so to speak, without any expectations, without any kind of tug of war going on in my love. Because when I love you in that way, then I can truly experience the great benefits of that love. If I hold on to what I'm doing with you and don't love you fully or don't love you completely, then I hurt myself in doing that. And that's what Jesus is saying here about God the Father. He gives. He is kind to the unthankful. Be merciful as your Father's merciful. Notice, your reward will be great and you'll be the sons of the Most High. Now, I don't think that Jesus is necessarily talking about in that passage, your reward will be great being the reward of heaven, even though we can have that reward of heaven. I think he's talking about the reward of knowing what it's like to love someone without preconditions, without expectations, without trying to, get something out of that relationship, just to love freely. When you love other people freely, you have been rewarded simply from practicing that kind of love. Well, how do we love our families? That's the question that I want us to ask this morning. Do we practice this kind of love toward one another in our families? And how can we practice this kind of love toward our families? To love our families as Jesus has loved us. Now that's a tremendously challenging thing. And let's think about that this morning. Loving our families as Jesus loves us, first of all, means loving our families without expectations. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. And then, secondly, loving our families as Jesus loves us means loving our families selflessly with faithfulness. And then finally, loving our families as Jesus loves us means loving graciously without reservation. So let's think about those three things this morning. First of all, we want to love our families without expectations. You know, when we have expectations, and those expectations are not met, we become disappointed. We may think, well, I'm a failure now because my family didn't meet my expectations, or maybe I decide, you know, because those expectations were not met, that I'm going to distance myself now from my family member. All of those things are mistakes that we should not make in relationship to our families. Expectations can kill relationships if we allow those expectations to define another person. And literally, expectations, if they're so high and so great and cause so much pressure on our family members, there's the possibility that our family members may decide that life is not worth living anymore. And you know, that can have some tragic, tragic consequences in the world today. You know, not too long ago, a young man, I'm not going to say who it is, but a young man who was a member of the Church of Christ committed suicide not too far away from here. And it was a very sad circumstance. And look, I don't know what the situation was, okay? And I'm not going to judge anyone or make any pronouncements on anyone. But let me say this, that day I sat down with my kids and I said, look, there is nothing in this world that is so important that you would have to do something like that. Absolutely nothing, okay? And if you think that you feel some kind of pressure, or you think that you feel like there's something going on that you can't handle, let's talk about it, all right? Because it's not that important. It's not important as that. And we need to get that message across to our kids, especially who don't necessarily know all about life yet and are working through things. And sometimes they may get the impression from us that we have high expectations. If they don't meet those high expectations, then, you know, life is just going to be over for them. That is not true. And we need to be communicating with them on a daily basis and letting them know that we love them, we value them, regardless of how they do in life, regardless of how they get on with life, whether they're greatly successful or whether they, just work at the fast food restaurant. We still love them. We still value them. We still want them as part of our life. And success, as the world defines it, is not necessarily the same thing as success as God defines it. And a person can work at a fast food restaurant for all of their life, and if that person is a Christian and is living right, that person is successful with God. And that's all that matters. Okay, so we need to think about loving our families without expectations and letting them know that we love them and that we value them and that we are committed to our relationship with them regardless of what may happen in the world, regardless of what may happen, you know, in academics or in social settings or whatever it might be. There's going to be a lot of troubles that this life brings, but we are committed to them and we are going to be faithful to them. And so, and our expectations ought to be, you know what, there's only really one thing that matters, and that is being right with God, and everything else doesn't really matter all that much. And it's just a matter of being right with God and taking care of that relationship and loving one another. And that's all that's really important. And we've got to get that message across to our kids to let them know that. Well, when we think about loving our families without expectation, you know, Jesus set the example. Jesus set the example for loving us without expectations. Notice what Romans 5, 6, and 6 through 10 says. And look at these key words here in this passage. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Look at these four key words here that indicate that Jesus Christ did this for us even when we really were not even thinking about doing right with Him. Notice, without strength, ungodly, sinners, enemies. Now, do you have expectations for your enemies? Do you have expectations for sinners, for the ungodly, for people who are without strength? I would say if you looked at them and you would say your expectations would be either none or at least very, very low, right? And that's what Jesus did. Think about it. Jesus gave His life for us when we were in what the Bible describes as being without strength and ungodly and sinners and enemies. And it was given freely. His love was given freely to us, regardless of the choices that sinners and the ungodly and enemies and those without strength made within their life. Look at Romans 5, 6 through 10. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if we, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved from His life. What a great blessing it is that Jesus demonstrated His love for us, and that that love was given freely, and that now we have the opportunity to respond freely to the gift that God and Jesus gave to us. That's the attitude that we need to have toward our families. Giving ourselves away freely to them and then letting them know that their response to our free gift is their free choice as well. Now look, you say, well, does that make that much of a difference? It makes all the difference. Why? It's the difference between wanting to do something versus having to do something, right? Think about that for a minute. Think about that for a minute. Have you ever felt like, well, I just have to do this or else I'm going to be in trouble with my boss or with my family or with, you know, the government or whatever it might be. You know, I just have to do this. How do you feel when you feel like you have to do something, right? You feel burdened. You feel like a weight has been placed on you. You feel like you don't have any other choice. You feel, kind of deep down in a low spot. But when you make the shift and start to do things because you want to do them, now, think about it. Now it's my choice. Now I get to do this. Now I am free. Now I can do what I want. You see, when we free people, when we love people and free them up from this sense of obligation or expectation that we tend to impose sometimes on others, when we free them up, now they're free to choose what their response to me is as well. And that's a great thing. It's a great thing because that builds relationships with other people. And it helps us to love each other as God wants us to love each other. I have an opportunity to respond freely to what Jesus did for me. And it's my choice. And guess what, folks? I want to do it. Why? Because of the love that Jesus Christ demonstrated to me. Oh yes, loving our families without expectations will help us. And that's exactly what we want to do as well. We need to love our families in this way. I'm going to move on from that slide. All right. I was going to use that as an illustration, but I decided that I didn't want to use that illustration. So anyway, I might use it some other time. So I hope you're not too disappointed. All right. Well, here we go. Think about loving our family. Think about what Paul said here in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now that's the Word of God. And what is it telling us? It's telling us that we need to love people freely. We need to give away our love to others and not place so many expectations upon the love that we have for others. Now look, when we love people this way, we will begin to appreciate them for who they are, not for who we want them to be. Okay? And I think that's an important point to make. Because look, when we place expectations, high expectations on other people, we're trying to define that person. We're trying to say, your value in life only consists of what I think of you. And you know what that is? That's arrogance, is what that is. That's arrogance. Because we're, in essence, making ourselves the judge of who this person should be. And that's not right for me to do that, all right? Now, what ought I to do instead? I ought to love that person for who they are, not for what I want them to be. And what does that mean? It means that I get to let Jesus define who they are, not me. Because Jesus is ultimately the one who defines who all of us are. And if I let Jesus define who I am, and I let Jesus define who you are, then we're going to have a great relationship. But if I get in the way of Jesus and I start saying, I'm going to define who you are by setting all kinds of expectations on you and what you should be and how you should live and all that, then guess what? We're not going to have a very good relationship, and it's not going to be a loving relationship because I'm not letting Jesus define you. Well, we all want Jesus to define us, not other people. And so let's practice love in our families in this way, by loving our families without expectations. But then secondly, we need to love our families selflessly with faithfulness. You know, selfishness gets in the way of faithfulness. Think about it like this. Let's say I have a relationship with someone. I'm committed to that relationship. And then I decide that I want to go off and pursue some kind of personal, selfish activity of some sort. Well, what happens when I do that? Now the relationship becomes strained because instead of thinking of the other person, I'm only thinking about myself. And that causes me to think, well, maybe I shouldn't be committed to this person. Maybe I shouldn't be faithful to this person if we're going to have such a strained relationship. And you know, this happens to a lot of people in the world today. And they don't let Jesus live within their life. They don't let the love of Jesus guide their life. And as a result, they have a relationship with someone for a while. And then when that goes bad, I'm done with it. I'm going to move on to something. I'm done with you, you know. I think now the modern term is like ghosting, right? Isn't that what it is? You ghost them or whatever, which means you just don't talk to them anymore. Well, that's very, very poor relationship management, you know. That is not the right way to behave. We want to be committed to other people. We want to be faithful to other people. And why is that? Because Jesus was committed to us. Because Jesus was faithful to us. And when we're committed to other people, we're faithful to other people, we're going to strengthen relationships. We're not going to break them. We're going to want those relationships to grow and to be better. And especially within our families. We need to be, in our families, we need to be close to each other. To love each other as God has loved us, and to give ourselves to one another. And if there is mistrust and if there is selfishness and if there is the sense that, well, maybe we have problems, then guess what? We're going to question that relationship, and that's going to become a temptation for us not to be faithful to our families. Well, let's look at what Jesus did and said, and then let's think about how we can apply that to our lives. Now, Jesus loved us selflessly, and Jesus loved us faithfully. And that's how we want to love our families. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. Now, that was a selfless way to live, that He lived. He didn't seek His own welfare, but the welfare of others. He didn't seek to make a name for Himself, per se. He didn't seek to build Himself up. He didn't seek to make it all about Him, but to do what? To give His life a ransom for many. Now, when we love like Jesus loves, then we're going to be faithful to our families. We're going to be committed to our families. We're going to be selfless. And we're going to give as Jesus gave of Himself. Think about Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4 as application of Jesus' faithfulness and commitment and selflessness. It says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not out for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." And how pertinent is that in our family relationships? It is extremely relevant. It is extremely important that in our family relationships, we really look out for one another. And not just for our own personal interests. When we fill ourselves with our own selfish desires and ignore our families, that's a recipe for disaster. Because our families are going to suffer because of it. And we need to be thinking more often, what is going to please my wife? What is going to please my husband? What is going to please my parents? What is going to please my children? As opposed to what is going to please me, right? That's the biggest problem that we have in our relationship with our families, because we have to battle all of our own self-interest and our own self-desires and the very carnal desire for self-preservation even. We have to battle that at all times in order to love our families like Jesus loved us. You know, Jesus didn't hold anything back, did he? He gave it all up. He gave it all up for us. And we need not hold anything back for our families either. You know, those are to be the ones that we love the most and that we care about the most. And so we need to give it all up for them. Do we love our families like Jesus loved us selflessly and with faithfulness? But then finally, we want to love our families graciously without reservation. Graciously. And we've been talking about this all along, that when we love, we need to give tremendously, you know, freely, openly, graciously. You know, the word gracious comes from the word grace, and the word grace means a gift of some kind. And so when we're loving, we're giving. Be the gift that you want your family to have. Really, that's how we need to look at this. Love is a gift. And love only works as a gift when you give it away for free. Now think about that for a minute. It's easy, you know, to give somebody a packaged gift and to give it to them and let it go and sit there and say, yeah, you know, that's from me to you. I'm glad you have it and all that. That's not really that hard, really. What's harder is to give yourself to somebody else. Now that is difficult because giving yourself to somebody else requires self-denial. I've got to deny myself in order to give myself to you. Think about that for a minute. But, of course, the blessing that comes from giving ourselves away for free is tremendous. And we use this illustration of giving a gift to someone as an illustration because when you give a gift to someone and you give it freely and you don't put any attachments on it, how do you feel about that? You're happy for that other person. I want you to have it. I'm glad for you. I feel great that you have this gift that I've given you. Well, love is like that emotionally. When we give to someone like that, then they're going to feel great. We're going to feel great. And I'm not saying that we're all in it for the feelings or anything. It's not just about that. It's about having the right attitude toward God and having the right attitude toward other people and living that way in our life so that we can have the peace and love and joy that God gives us. And He gives that to us as we practice His will within our life. The feelings are the result of the right behavior, okay? And that's how we need to look at that. So many people in this world are mixed up because they think that they should pursue the feelings, they should have the feelings without having the right behavior, okay? And it doesn't work like that. It just doesn't work like that. If you don't have the right behavior, you're not going to have the right feelings. But if you have the right behavior and the right feelings come from that, that's a good thing. And that's what we want. Freely you have received, freely give, Jesus said. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 45. And so when we think about freely giving ourselves to others, let's remember that Jesus freely gave Himself to us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3 and verse 16. And Romans 8:32 says, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Oh, what a wonderful concept and idea that is, that Jesus freely gave Himself to us so that we might freely have all things. And oh, how we need to reflect the love of Jesus within our life and freely give ourselves to other people as well, and especially to our families. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Romans 12 and verse 10. Will we love our families graciously without reserve? I hope that we will. I hope that we will practice true love. True love, as Jesus loved us, is going to be a love that is without expectations. It's going to be a love that is selfless and faithful, and it's going to be a love that is gracious and given without reservation. Oh, that we would love one another as Jesus loved us. And maybe you need to come into the love of Christ this morning, and you can do that. You can become a Christian today. Jesus gave us the plan whereby we can give ourselves freely to Him. And you know, really, if you think about it, becoming a child of God involves giving ourselves to Jesus freely by hearing His Word and believing it, repenting of our sins, confessing Him as Lord, and being baptized. When we're baptized into that watery grave of baptism, we give ourselves to Jesus Christ. We participate in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. That is a gift. We're giving ourselves away at that point. And we're saying, you know what? No more self. No more self. I'm going to let Jesus rule. I'm going to let Jesus guide. I'm going to trust in the cross of Jesus Christ and live for Him. And that is when we begin to be transformed and come into the likeness of Jesus Christ Himself by taking on His cross and living for Him each and every day. Do you want to do that this morning? We can help you with that. Or maybe you need the prayers of the church. Maybe your love hasn't been what it needs to be. And this morning you realize that and you'd like to make a change and you need the prayers of the church to do that. Then this morning we will pray with you and for you. If you have a need, you can come forward and make that need known now while together we stand and while we sing.